for our call to worship, may we use responsive reading selection number 22, The Lord My Strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait thou safe on the Lord.
May we now praise God with the singing of hymn number 22, standing as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. I'm sorry, hymn number 1.
Thank you.
remain standing for prayer. In the name of Jesus, we dare to come to thee, O Holy God, and call thee Father. We thank thee for the assurance we have in Jesus that thou carest for us. And we pray in this assurance we may rest and find the strength to obey thee and to do thy will. We thank thee, our Father, for life and all the gifts thou hast given us. We thank thee for the meaning and the joy of salvation which we have in Jesus. We thank thee for the calling that brings us to a great and noble task. Give us strength and faith and hope and all we need to be found good and faithful in all that thou would have us be and do. We thank thee for the opportunities of these days of study and meditation. And we pray as we think upon thy word, we may come to know thee as a living God and obey thee as Lord and Master. Be thou merciful to those who are troubled and who carry heavy burdens this day. Be with those who undertake great tasks. Sustain us in the ordinary things of life and give us joy and peace in all. For in Jesus' name we make our prayer.
Save your.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson, and men. Our guest minister this morning is the Reverend Sam O'Neill. Mr. Neill is a native of Mount Airy, North Carolina, a graduate of Gardner-Webb Limestone College and of Southeastern Seminary, finishing here in 1960. He has had three pastorates in North Carolina and has served with the training union department of our Baptist State Convention here in North Carolina. Only recently, he's become representative of our annuity board and will be on campus as a representative of the annuity board today. He will have a table in Staley Hall, and should you have need to confer with him, he'll be glad to see you. Brother Sam, it's a real joy to welcome you back to your school.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Blackmore. Let me say this is a real distinct pleasure and honor for me to be back on the campus of Southeastern. I always welcome the opportunity to be on the campus and in a very special way to voice appreciation to you, the faculty and administration, for meaning so very much to so many of us who have passed this way before. As Dr. Blackmore indicated, I will be in the rotunda of Staley Hall today to share with any of you, any of the students, faculty, discuss with you problems related to your retirement or insurance program. It's a real joy, a real honor for me to be on the campus. In the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, there is a single verse which I trust you will not think I am doing injustice to the scriptures when I sort of pull that out and share some thoughts with you today. I think this can be justified because the writer in the book of Hebrews shares so many thoughts. And then in that 13th chapter, in the 8th verse, it seems that he comes to an abrupt halt and reaffirms a faith and challenges those who listen, those who shall read, to reaffirm that faith also. And we find these words: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This particular verse of scripture has always intrigued me. I suppose it goes back to my boyhood days when, as a boy, I had presented to me a concept of God as being a stone-faced, concrete, immobile traffic cop out directing traffic. And somehow, as I recall, this picture was portrayed to me as a leading theological thought by many of the good and respected pastors and preachers whom I knew as a growing lad. The congregations did not do very much, at least many of them, to discourage this presentation. In fact, they encouraged this stance so often by singing such hymns as "I Shall Not Be Moved," "Standing on the Promises," and "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," and many others which we could name this morning. I am well aware that these hymns do present a tremendous Christian truth. I'm also aware that quite often they present a self-satisfaction for the Christian. Along with this, many of our Sunday school teachers did not do very much to improve this fixed, concrete position for the Christian. Then I began to hear some things. I began to hear about this God
who would save souls. I began to hear about this God who could change the hearts of men, who could redirect and motivate lives. This God who could move mountains, who could even change the course of nations, bring life into being, and call life home. And at about this time, I began to have difficulty in reconciling this immobile, this static God with this dynamic, active God who was beginning to speak to my heart and redirect my life. This still small voice who was beginning to speak to my mind and challenge me. This is when I became intensely interested in Hebrews 13:8. In chapter 1, verses 8 and 12 convey the same idea. This is also when I made some very important discoveries. I discovered something about the sameness of my Lord yesterday, today, and forever. I also discovered something about his claim upon my life. And I discovered that the position for the Christian, the child of God, the believer, is not that of standing on the promises, not that of even leaning on the everlasting arms, not that of the fixed position, I shall not be moved. I discovered that the position for the Christian is one of being moved with compassion for a needy individual, for a needy world, for our community. I discovered this very acutely just a few days ago when I had the distinct pleasure of going to the Philippines at the invitation of the Foreign Mission Board and doing some preaching and teaching there. And one day as I walked through a leper colony, this verse of scripture began to leap out at me. And I discovered anew the position for the Christian in today's world. I discovered that he must run and take these promises that our Lord has made with outstretched arms, yes, to present his promises to the hopeless of the world. I discovered that the position for the Christian is one of action, is one of doing. I discovered some other things about this Lord of ours. I discovered that he is God's word to man yesterday, today, and forever. Somehow that particular verse had troubled me. But I began to discover that he is the eternal hope of man forever and always. I began to realize that the shelves of a man's life become like those of the cupboard without food, empty and void. I saw this also portrayed so very vividly recently, as I stood there by the side of a young Filipina as she was lamenting the passing of her father, a man who had died without Christ according to all testimonies. And I can still hear her cries as she stood there sobbing, hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. But I witnessed something else among the Christians who were there in that room. As I saw the ray of hope, I saw the different expressions. I soon realized that the preacher of the gospel may die, and pass off the scene, but the word never, that he is God's word to man. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This became anew and afresh to me. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not his word. Then I discovered something else. I discovered that his forgiveness is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The sacrifice of Christ can never be improved. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The father running to meet the prodigal son returning home. This is forgiveness applied on the wayward road. He is the same in the tenderness and love that he expresses to each of us. His intercession abides yesterday, today, and forever. As Savior of sinners, he is the same. I discovered also that he cannot be bound by time, yesterday, today, or forever. The history of Christian thought teaches us that man's belief about Jesus Christ may change from age to age, yet he does not. He is not time-oriented. Here again, I caught some new expressions of this during recent days. I was reminded of this as I discovered that the Filipinos are very much event-oriented and not time-oriented. The event begins when the people arrive. And I began to reflect here upon the events in the life of Christ. And I discovered a sameness here. Now, I must admit that as an Americano in a strange land, I had difficulty starting a scheduled 7 o'clock meeting, which was to begin at 6 o'clock. This bothers us, but I discovered afresh that Christ is not bound by time. He is event-oriented. And this is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Though successive generations may pass away, Jesus remains the same in his tenderness, his love, and his compassion. During the yesterday of the Jewish dispensation, he made his sheep to lie down in green pastures. During the today of the Christian dispensation, he presides over his flock by his Spirit, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And during the blessed forever, I'm persuaded to believe that he shall gather all of his sheep from their labors unto their heaven of rest. Our ever-demanding human needs, birth, sickness, death, sin, sorrow, hope, fear, on and on we could go, always under constant changing forms and demands, will find in the changeless Christ their full answers. I believe that what we are today is God's gift to us. But I also believe that what we can become tomorrow with Christ is our gift to God. Yes, the consistent Jesus, always ever present, yesterday, today, and forever. Shall we pray together? Our Father, in these changing times of ours, in these frustrating days, when demands are heavy upon us, cause us to pause and thank you again for the consistent Christ who is the same in his love, in his forgiveness, in his time for us, for thy creation. Lead us now as we move through this day, that we might walk with him in all that we do. We ask thy blessings upon this institution, upon each faculty member, upon each trustee, upon the special hours that lie just immediately ahead when the trustees will be on the campus. Bless their deliberation. Bless each student, each family represented, and may this truly be the preparation ground to send thy servants out throughout the world to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.